everybody, and welcome back. Welcome back.
I don't
want
to do the show anymore.
Welcome back to another...
I want to go home.
To another episode of Let Me Tell You Why. I'm your host, Tyler Webster, joined as always by my co-host, Danielle Lorenz.
Hi. I'm upset.
Before we get into this,
stay with it.
Yep.
You're doing great.
Pick up.
Bleeding over from last night.
Oh my God, no. Before we go into today, what's happening? Help! Help!
I'm leaving it all in.
Please. Yes. If I stutter one more time, this is actually a cry for help. Before we get into today's topic, have we talked about the meme before we record on the show?
I feel like we have touched on it.
We
yes.
may have mentioned it. Well, for those who don't know, it is my favorite thing to, you know, we got to start recording with a clap. And we've done 100 of these episodes, it feels like, at least. And
we've not even gotten close
we're
to
100
episodes.
Not even remotely close, not even a fifth of the way there. And so we've done these episodes so much, you have to come up with fresh jokes and stupid stuff, like where I'm like doing like, I'll act like I'm going to clap and then I'll stare at you and then I'll clap and then go hello. Just a little something something. And so I'm running out of clap based gags. And so I'm like, hold on, let me check something real quick. And then I pulled up the meme of iDubbbz jumping down going, I'm gay. And then I quickly clapped and started the episode. We're doing great.
We're doing great. Just, you know. God. Mid-afternoon on a Tuesday.
Yeah, mid. That's what you guys signed up for.
Mid.
Yeah, so what's going on, guys? We're happy to be back. Today's topic is one that's near and dear to both of our hearts. Something that we care about a great deal.
All right.
Oh, it's really important to both of us. We're going to be... Yeah, get closer to the mic when you fucking... No. So today's episode is sociopathy. So Danielle, what is sociopathy? You mean it?
Sociopathy is Tyler Webster.
Right. What else?
No. Sociopathy. Look it up in the dictionary. It's a picture of Tyler and me. Sociopathy is sometimes intentional, sometimes not. Always makes you feel like a supervillain.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I think sociopathy is awesome. That's... No.
Said the persona.
Yeah. No, really, sociopathy, at least from my perspective, it's like with great power comes great responsibility.
Oh my God.
I feel like it's an adept understanding of how people work to a point where a lot of life becomes an if-then statement. And so the sociopathy comes in where you stop acknowledging how inhuman it is to kind of game the system with people and how they work. And it's the fact that I can say that without any shame or remorse that is probably bad. That's probably not
probably.
Good. Yeah. Yeah, if left unchecked, it could be pretty egregious.
Yes.
If left checked, it could be less that. I'm saying this thinking about, like, you know, to my girlfriend or... just to any possible employers or anybody who gives a shit, who is like, man, this guy's pretty cool, and then they hear this episode, they're not gonna think that. they're not gonna be feeling that.
Oh my God.
Some people are attracted to it.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Like to well okay, hold on. Yes, of course people are attracted to sociopaths because they know what to do to get people to attract them. But are you talking about knowing someone is a sociopath and thinking that that's hot?
Yes. Okay. There's a level of danger to it, right? Where it's like, because I feel like it's a dominance thing, because the modern sociopath...
I'm sorry, it sounded like You were about to start, like, hit record, start writing a book. The Modern Sociopath. It's like, I know you haven't seen The Office, but there's, like, an episode where he's been talking about writing this business management book for years. Okay. And finally, this one, like, douchey guy in the show just goes, so do it. Write a book. And he's like, I should write a book. And you see him in his office, and he just hits record on, like, a tape recorder, and he's like, yes, somehow I manage over 1 billion sold. More than the Bible, I'm not surprised. And then he just goes, the businessman. And it's this long shot of nothing else. And then it cuts to the title sequence. And that's it. And that's all it reminded me of. Was The Modern Sociopath. And roll credits.
Whatever happened to predictabilities?
No! Okay, so the other day, I'm sorry, we have to tell that story. So the other day, we're at breakfast, about to go to the Harry Potter exhibit, and we're with his brother and friends of the podcast, John and Candace, and his brother's fiance. Mm-hmm. We're all hanging out, and they're talking about the new Fresh Prince like reboot that got uploaded, and you start talking.
Well, I go on this bit where because Tanner is just like, no, the Fresh Prince reboot's actually really good. Like, yeah, it's actually dramatic, you know. But they're taking the same character concepts, but they're changing them a little bit. I'm like, yeah. Uncle Phil, instead of being Uncle Phil, is a judge. He's a cop. And Will Smith is actually nerdier and wears glasses, and he's really into the daughter, and it's just Family Matters. And then I, with confidence, was like, whatever happened to predictabilities? And everyone's like, ha ha ha, that's so funny. And I think you were the first person.
I look at Tyler and go, did you just sing the fucking Full House theme when talking about Family Matters with full conviction that you were correct?
I was so confident. I was like, yeah, this is it.
And then everyone else, after I said it, realized that it was, in fact, the Full House theme. Oh, my God.
In sociopathy, whenever you say something with confidence, most of the time they believe you.
Unless there's another sociopath in the room, and then you're fucked.
Who's immune to that shit. Everyone's
enter
like,
me.
Everyone's like, oh, you're so funny. And you're just like, wait, no, you're not.
No, you're not. You fucked up. You're stupid.
Oh, my God.
My God.
No, I feel like, and this is, there is absolutely no proof to back this up. This is just a thought.
Okay.
But with my dating history, I feel like, and I'm not, Jesus Christ, so let me paint myself into a hole here. I'm not like this raging sociopath where it's like this big manipulation and like toxicity, right? You can agree that that's not the case.
Not necessarily.
Don't say it like that.
Well, because here's the thing. We have had conversations where, like, even just today, you know, where you were throwing out hypotheticals, and I was like, you realize that's a toxic thought, though. Like,
well, and I'm trying to get better about just being a human being.
And that's also why I'm pointing it out. Mm-hmm. It's not to say, fuck you. It's to say, hey, you may not have thought about it, but this is actually this, and you should think about that. Instead of just being like, you know, instead of letting you continue to think it's, like, not what it is and potentially make things, like, worse. Yeah. Like, it's actively trying to help. It's not trying to, like, condemn you.
But that's
to,
not,
like,
but what, so what we were talking about wasn't necessarily, it was a response to having a difficult conversation with your partner. And I don't think that that was a sociopathy thing. I think that's just me being in toxic relationships for so long and picking up some of those traits.
That was less
sociopathic and more of just, I'm constantly trying to be a healthy, good partner to my significant other, and I'm not perfect, right? Like, there are some things that I'm like, yeah, this is what I would do, and you're like, that's fucking wrong. It's like, I am? Oh, shit, okay, I would not do that then, right? But then you have other moments where it's like, no, I know exactly what's going on. And so to shift the spotlight, you, who is also a self-proclaimed sociopath.
More so when I was younger. I'm getting better.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
he says with doubt. Press D to doubt. Like, I still have my moments.
Sure,
but I'm not as bad as I used to be.
But that's how I am.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. We're lying to the audience. they don't believe us anymore.
No.
We're gaming the system.
I am not trying to lie. I'm actually trying to be legit. Like,
our audience, we know that if our audience thinks that we're still proud sociopaths, that they're not going to empathize with us anymore because they won't trust us. So we have to play the game by saying we're recovering, we're not like that anymore, we're moving away from it to show growth and further garner that sympathy, despite the fact that we both know that that's exactly what's happening.
Yes.
There's a lot of stress on Danielle's face of like, don't fuck me on this.
Well, because I'm sitting here and I'm being honest, and then he's over here weaving these crazy words and just being like, "Anne, I'm gonna paint you into a hole."
Oh,
apparently,
my God. No, it is very funny because sometimes it's a lot of times you can playfully do it without actually causing damage, right? Like one of the things that I try and do is highlight tendencies of the past in a silly way, mm-hmm. to be like, wouldn't that be crazy if you know what I mean? But like with the understanding that that's not what it is.
Yeah.
I won't call
her
out.
Well, you do that all the time, like with us, where you're just like, yeah, but what if we just like did this? And I'm like, no, Tyler.
But it's always ha ha ha.
We're not
right?
starting a shell company.
I'm just saying for tax purposes.
No.
but is that even sociopathic or is that just fucking psychotic?
I don't know at this point. It's hard to tell the difference.
So, there is one of our friends. I will not call her out or she'll have a fucking... She will not like it. But one of our friends I was out with last night and going to get some food. And I was teasing her. And she had mentioned that what I was saying, she was just like, you're pissing me off. But it was like a ha 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 kind of, you're pissing me off, like with that kind of energy. Mm-hmm. So I'm just like, we're just playing around. And she's like, I'm going to smack the shit out of you. I was like, you ain't smacking shit. Smacks the fuck out of me. And
I heard about that.
And I'll say this, right? The people in my life know that that is not okay.
No.
Right? That is egregiously not okay. Yeah. But because I know the guilty party is listening to this right now, so I want to make this super clear. I'm not bothered by it because the immediate response was, oh my fucking Christ, what did I just do? I can't believe I just did that. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
And then it was a penance walk for probably the next year. So so I'm trying to make light of it because sitting there and having it, like when we're all ha ha hee hee hooting and hollering, and then I don't want to take the energy out of the room. I don't want to be the guy who's just like, that was not okay. When you know that that's not okay, and you know what I mean? It's like, I'm not going to stand on your neck about this. Like, that's not cool. We're going to make some jokes about it and then move on. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of times with people that have anxiety, what I'll do is say all the things that your anxious mind is saying, but in such a way that makes it sound ridiculous. Like, yeah. I would never say that, right?
Oh, you've done that to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like it.
It's so fucking funny because it's comedy for a cause. It makes a fucking point, doesn't it? Where you're so tripped out thinking like, oh my God, he's probably thinking this, he's probably thinking that. And it's just like, ooh, I don't trust you anymore. Ooh, you know what I mean? Like, how could you do this to me and disrespect me so openly? And I'm saying it with that joke being like, and then backing it up with, bro, it's not like that. I'm being funny because it's silly and it's not, you're good. I'm not offended. And then, of course, she continued to be upset. And so, you know, now I'm really wearing her out.
No, whenever you've done that to me, that's when I've, like, because as you've learned, I can only learn from myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so whenever you've done that to me, that's when I start tuning out. And when I start just being like, yeah, okay, I hear you. And just, like, yep. And just, like, moving on because I have to get over things on my own. Anyone trying to talk me into like being okay is not gonna succeed.
Well, the trick with you is to say, you know, if in those rare moments where I actually am making a good point, make the point, you get quiet and be like, I'm gonna leave it there, and then leave, right? And go away from the conversation just to let you think about everything and then come to the conclusion yourself, as opposed to what I normally do with people, which is just wear your ass out fucking saying like, this is it, this is it, this is it, this is the right answer. And then, you know, and then you're being like, yeah, you're right. Because that works with some people, but not everybody.
Well, and see,
I know that because I'm a sociopath.
Well, and see, I think one, obviously, because I'm trying to not like necessarily be that way as much anymore. You know, I have not that I've, like, lost my ability to kind of, like, navigate situations, but I purposely don't seek them out, or, like, I don't try to execute, Order 66. I don't really try to do that at this point anymore, but something I do, and often do accurately, is, I am a little bit scarily good at reading people, and by reading people, picking up on what they're gonna do next.
Mm.
That's kind of, like, my, like, sort of, I guess, just the ability in which I, the level to which I know just how people work and how society works has helped me so much in being able to predict disaster, so that when it happens, I'm not surprised. When it pops up, I'm like, yeah, I called that. Or even something good, I'm like, okay, yeah, so the only possibilities coming out of this are this, this, and this. This is the most likely.
You ready for me to derail and kind of invalidate this entire episode?
Sure.
So, WebMD, so consider the source, but WebMD describes the 7 signs of a sociopath as the following, and I want you to tell me how much of these actually really mean something to you.
Okay.
Lack of empathy for others.
No.
Exactly. Impulsive behavior, but that, I mean, that could be just the ADHD. That's a million things,
yeah.
Attempting to control others with threats of violence, oh, okay, and aggression.
Threats of violence, no, but I, yeah.
That does, but we don't control others with threats of violence. So we're so far, Jesus, no, not dog grooming. So far we're 1 out of 3.
Mm-hmm.
This part, this is definitely it. Using intelligence, charm, or charisma to manipulate others. Yes.
Yes. You not, use charm and charisma more. I use intelligence more, I think.
Facts.
Yeah.
Not learning from mistakes or punishment. Yes, but no.
I feel like I actually became a sociopath because I did learn from my mistakes as far as, like, with authority figures and
mm-hmm,
stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just learned how to kind of, like, outdog them a little bit. And so, like, I did learn, but I went the opposite direction.
Oh my God. Okay. I know for me, I'm constantly trying to improve, and I know you are too.
Yeah, of course.
It may take a little while to get there, yeah, but we are still trying, and I think that's important. Yes, we are trying. Not learning, we just did that. Lying for personal gain.
Yeah.
I have done that.
Yeah. I mean, you're looking at a reformed pathological liar, so, yeah.
And I just don't give a fuck.
and I have, you know, and I do continue to lie if not lying is going to get me in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And not with, like, my partner. Like, I don't lie to Samuel about anything, but, like, you know, people that it won't make me feel guilty about, then yes.
Okay. Showing a tendency to physical violence or fights. You, yes, yeah, me,
I was about
no
to say yes.
But that's a tendency, though. You don't really have that tendency as much as it's an if-then statement. If certain criteria are met, you're going to fuck somebody up. But that's the same with me, but I'm a nonviolent person.
Well, it's also, like, it's also why I can't sword fight. You know?
But,
like,
but I think, right, what does it say, right?
Because
showing, what is it? Showing a tendency to physical violence and fights, you consciously saying that's going to trigger me. Like, it's the same reason I said no hitting in the head with the sword fighting, right? Because if actual real pain is elicited, and that was your intent, you know I'm gonna hurt you if I hit you in the head, mm-hmm, right? If I get a good stab in towards your midsection, it's like that's gonna hurt, but it's not gonna be like getting hit in the head, and so you know if I consciously and intentionally hit you in the head, I'm like trying to hurt you. And that's why I took it out, because A, it's a huge hazard, but B, that is going to piss me off, right?
Yeah.
If it was an accident, that's one thing.
Yeah.
Because the intent means more than the action.
Yeah.
But if the intent is to actually cause, like I'm a nonviolent person, but I love martial arts. It's like, why is that? I do martial arts that are not based on hurting and pain as much as it is skill and scoring. You know what I mean? The pain is an afterthought. It's not the intent. With boxing, my intent is to fuck you up and to hurt you and knock you the fuck out.
Yeah.
Right? And the more damage I can do to you as a person, the better the chances are that I ended up winning, right? With fencing, you're not supposed to get hurt.
Yeah.
It's just, but it is a cost of doing business if you do that. But I'm not trying to hurt you.
Yeah.
Right? And if you're fencing someone who's swinging like an asshole, well now I am gonna take my mask off and beat the shit out of you because that's not okay, right? So that's how I square that circle. So okay. I don't think we're there. Generally superficial relationships. I love my friends very much, but in my love life, not this one, but in the past, that's maybe a thing. Sometimes stealing and committing other crimes. I don't steal.
I don't do that either.
I do not steal. That is kind of a big thing for me, so no. Committing other crimes, you know.
Depends on what the crime is.
Threatening suicide to manipulate with that intention act.
Absolutely not.
Not a thing. Sometimes abusing drugs or alcohol. Yep. trouble with responsibilities such as job, paying bills, etc. I mean, maybe we are sociopaths.
Maybe we are. It's not every single symptom, but we do have quite a few on there.
We do have some of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I was over here because I read the first couple. And I was like, oh, come on, we're good. And I was like, wait, no. A lot of these are...
Oh, well, my God. Yeah. Well, all right. Well, we're back then.
Welcome back, everybody.
Welcome back to Sociopathy, the podcast.
What do you think is the worst thing that you've done? What do you think is the worst thing that you have done? Because I know for me, it's less of things that I do as much as, like, mentalities that I have. What's the worst, most sociopathic mentality that you've adopted?
Mentality.
That you may have pitched and thrown to the side, but have used or executed once or twice in your life.
So I want to make sure that, like, you know, it's going to be in the right umbrella of things. So tell me if I'm, like, off or if you're like, that's not what I meant.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's such a difficult question to just spring on me and be like, hey, come up with an answer to this really weird question. Mm-hmm. As far as, okay, just, like, bad mentalities that I've had,
mm-hmm.
like, about people?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, okay. So, one, I've talked about this a little bit, but my whole toxic feminism thing where I was like, if you're not a badass woman, then you suck at everything. Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, and it was kind of fed into me, like, I had it when I was growing up, then it faded away because I started getting to know some of these, like, you know, some of these people that kind of fit into that category, and I was like, oh, actually, like, really nice, and, like, there's nothing wrong with them.
Mm-hmm.
But then I became friends with somebody who referred to them as the irrelevant girls who take up space.
Mm-hmm.
And so it all kind of rushed back into my head, because, you know, super popular guy, and, like, I want to be his best friend, and so it's like, yeah, okay, I'm totally with you on putting these women down. Mm-hmm. Let's do that. But I absolutely do not adopt that anymore, because that's so cursed. But it was also, like, a thing where, you know, I used to assume, and sometimes I was correct, sometimes I wasn't, that, well, okay, so I guess the most, like, you know, I haven't done, if I've done some messed up stuff, I really don't remember with, like, my mentalities,
mm-hmm.
but I do know that I'm very good still at derailing conversations off of the topic that I don't want to talk about. But
is that sociopathic, or is that just taking control of a situation?
Depends on what the strong difference there is. Because especially if you're kind of turning it around to where now you have to talk about the other person,
mm-hmm.
that's usually what I'm good at. This is a side tangent, but it's related. So we had talked recently about why I wanted to play this character. This character that we're in one of our campaigns, I'm playing a character that very much represents a version of myself that is long gone, a very shy, mm-hmm. very mm-hmm. like nervous and like doesn't know who she is kind of character. And Tyler had asked me, why do you want to dive into that again?
Yeah.
And one of the biggest reasons is because that part of my life when I was like that was probably when I was at my most like sociopathic.
Hmm.
Which, yes, I was shy, and I was awkward. Oh, that's why you were
talking about the alignment thing with her.
I was shy, and I was awkward, and I was uncomfortable, but I watched.
Mm.
I watched fucking everyone and everything, and so anyone who wanted to know what was happening could come to me, and I would know, because mm-hmm. I was like, I'm watching everybody. Oh, they just shared a little glance right at that moment? Yeah, okay, so they're sleeping together. And like, I would just move on and just learn, and I could pick up on anything in the room. To the point where I got really, really good at wielding information that I should not have. Where, not where I would, like, you know, try to necessarily, like, threaten or blackmail anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But if someone came at me and they were either clearly lying, or they were, you know, like, covering it up, or, you know, or trying to take advantage of me for some reason or something like that, I'd be like, okay, well, when are we gonna talk about the fact that you're sleeping with this guy?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that so-and-so's best friend? You really gonna do that?
Yeah.
And immediately she'd be like, wait, what? How did what? Who told you? And I'm like, you don't need to know.
You just did.
Like you just confirmed it, mm-hmm. and, you know, your best friend over there just broke up with him.
No, that's the best way to spin it. And it's like, how did you know? you just told me.
Yeah. And that's the kind of shit that I wouldn't do it often. Because, as you said, with great power comes great responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
But if someone was backing me into a corner, I would immediately just throw it back. Which, playing this character, has awoken that at the table. Where, like, even just John was talking to me in character, and I real quickly found a way to just back. Mm-hmm. And now it's back on you real quick, and we're not talking about me anymore.
Yeah.
And it came out of me so smoothly, and he just picked it up and kept going, like, you know, with his thing, that I was like, oh my god, that's what I used to do. Like, straight up. And I realized the reason I wanted to play that character is because, not because I see a whole ton of, like, value in that aspect of myself, but almost like a petri dish, I want to study that kind of darker aspect of myself.
Mm.
Because that version of me is a very dark version of me.
Yeah.
And so I want to see, I want to put it under a microscope and look at it and see, like, okay, in a safe environment where everything's controlled and no one can get hurt, I want to look at this version of myself. I want to see how the cogs turn. I want to see what happens, you know, when this thing happens, how would that version of me have reacted, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's it, that is my actual answer from that question the other day. But as far as, like, what my worst habit was, I think it was that I was so good at just picking up on, like, very small things in group settings, that then when someone hit me with, like, you know, trying to ask me something I wasn't ready for, or, like, or even accusing me of something, or just a conversation I didn't want to have, because I also was very non-confrontational,
mm-hmm.
I would just be like, huh, well, if we're going to talk about this, how about we talk about this?
Mm-hmm.
And just, like, throw it back at them, which is very toxic and not good, because communication, you should always communicate.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to communicate. Yeah. I didn't want to. So I would just throw it back in their faces. So as far as probably my most, like, consistently toxic, that would probably be it.
Hmm. Well,
because it was also so good at hiding itself. That was the thing.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe this is, like, one of the biggest things that I struggle with is the acknowledgement that this is necessarily a bad thing, right? It's like, you know, take a gun, for example. A gun, if used in the wrong hands, could be really fucking horrible.
Yeah.
Right? But in used in the right hands for self-defense, I think it's a very useful tool, right? The same thing with a fucking pickaxe. You can use a pickaxe to dig up a bunch of cool shit, or you can use it to bash somebody's fucking head open. You know what I mean? Like with anything, there's what you use it for that really determines the legitimacy, the good or bad nature of the tool that you have. And an acute or hyper sense of awareness at people's actions and what people do, and then using that information to garner the best result, sounds manipulative.
Because, you know, it is.
Yes, but then the same thing, too, is it's like...
And I'm not even trying to judge you for that, because I've done it too.
No, I know, like, that, but, like, yeah. But everybody does. Like, me and Tanner say that sales people... Everybody in this world is a salesperson. It's just a matter of how good you are at it. you're always selling yourself. There is no circumstance. I don't care how Mother Teresa, there's a level of salesmanship that you have to have towards yourself or the things that you're passionate about, or else you're never going to get anything done.
Well, yeah.
And sales is just really the art of coercion. It's just the art of saying, I want this, be it righteous or despicable. I want this, and I'm gonna try and convince you that this is right. And so manipulation is another thing. Like, you hear manipulation and you immediately jump to, not you, but people of Earth hear manipulation and immediately go, oh my God, toxic manipulation traits, like you're gaslighting, you're a this, you're a villain, right? But are you not doing the same thing? Are you not trying to then, by saying that, manipulate me into thinking who I don't think is a bad person, and try and convince me that I am a bad person when I do a lot of really cool and good things for the people around me?
So
I'm not perfect, but I'm not a bad person, I don't think.
So it finally kind of like clicked as you were talking just now. Mm-hmm. Why I think this specific brand of manipulation is viewed the way that it is, and mm-hmm. why, honestly, I kind of agree with the way that it's viewed.
Okay.
Is because I feel like we can all agree, you know, there's salespeople, like you said, most, like, jobs are going to be doing some kind of sales.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, whether you're pitching something to your board to make something happen in the next 6 months, or whether you're selling
for
a product.
A raise.
Yes.
Like, you're trying to get the job. Like,
yes.
Yeah.
And for those kinds of aspects, I don't really see a huge issue when it comes to actually, like, just trying to succeed career-wise, because yes, it is, like, people that you're working on, but it's a little bit more of a, maybe this is me really exposing how fucked up my brain is, but I view a career, even if it's filled with people, as kind of an object.
Mm.
And so manipulating that object, I don't see as a huge issue, as long as you're not hurting anyone else in the process. That is my biggest thing.
Okay.
And so as long as everyone comes out of it either better or the same,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, great. You know, like no one's getting fucked up. Everything's okay. I think where the problem comes in is when it goes into personal matters, because personal matters, you know, those are, in at least how my brain sorts categories, you know, I see careers as this object, whereas personal life, friends, relationships, things like that, those are individual people,
mm-hmm.
and manipulating them to make them feel a certain way or do this because you've done it so many times that you know it works. I know from personal experience, having had it done to me, it makes me feel worthless. It makes me feel not unique. It makes me feel disrespected.
Mm-hmm.
And whether or not they find out about it, you know, one, you're risking them finding out about it, because if they find out that you've done the same thing on 50 million other people before, it fucking hurt me. I can only assume it would hurt other people. And you're also, you know, you're forcing it,
mm-hmm.
instead of creating an authentic experience where you're just like, let's just see what the fucking vibe is, you know?
Yeah.
Let's see if this person can bounce off just me.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if we bounce off each other. Let's not try to create this big thing. You know, if I get to tell some of my really fun stories because they come up naturally, then fantastic. But also, if I don't, but if we're vibing, then why does it matter if I like make this specific thing happen, or, you know, sort of twist this little knob and push this little button and now, like, we're making out. Like,
mm-hmm.
I, you know, everyone has, like, little, you know, moves that they do. And I think having, like, one or two little, like, moves isn't a huge deal. It's once it becomes a handbook where it's, like, 80 moves. And you're like, okay, step one, you get there and you say this. And it has to be either one of these, like, 10 things having to do with, like, you know, either a joke or complimenting their appearance. Then step two. And it's like, you know, it's this whole thing going all the way in, where I think that's where, for me, it gets into kind of a bit of a kind of place where I'm like, you know, each experience with each person, you know, you talk about experiences, should be a unique experience, whether good or bad,
mm.
so that you can experience something new every single time and not just the same thing over and over because you're gaming the system, because you've learned it, because all, you know, all these people are the same. And it's like, but they're not, though.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, different people might throw you something different. So that's where, for me, it gets into the place of, I feel like manipulation in a professional kind of way does not bother me as much.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to the personal relationships, that's when I get kind of, because I want everything for me in my life to be very authentic. I don't want to have to force anything. I don't want anything to be plotted out in an Excel spreadsheet of, like, you know, like, if I found out, like, and I pray this isn't true, but if I found out that, like, our friendship had been, like, gamed from the beginning, because you've had, like, female friends before, and you were like, this is how I develop female friendships, and here we are, we're at step 17, after we've had 8 fights, and here we are.
Right.
Then I would be, I'd probably just be like, all right, I'm good.
Yeah.
Like, signing off.
Yeah.
Goodbye. Because I wouldn't feel special or unique. If I found out that Samuel had done the same thing to, like, you know, win my affection that he's done with every other woman, I'll know what I'd do. Like, I would definitely be sitting there like, okay, so was I just the one that was there? Like, you know, I'm not the one, but I'm the one that was in the room. So you went with me. Like, it turns something from something real and authentic to something plastic.
Yeah.
I talked for a long time.
No. I mean, I definitely see your point, and that's why I've moved away from certain ways of thinking, because, you know, fans of the show remember I've talked about, you know, a fair amount about being pretty bullied pretty mercilessly in middle school and high school, and not really being the lady's choice. And once I started getting charismatic, I had to quickly figure out, like, what was working and what wasn't. And as I was figuring out what was working, I continued pushing that ball down the hill, right? And
yeah.
I'm just like, wow, this is really gaining momentum. Like, we're kind of flying at this point. And after once college kind of came and went, I started doing really, really well with the ladies. And there was kind of a system that I had developed, not on purpose, where I just, you know, here's a really good first date idea.
Yeah.
Let's do this, right? And then it worked. It worked really well. Me and the girl didn't go very far, but, you know, we had a great time, right? And my intention isn't, you know, oh my God, yeah, we're going to go in and we're going to have sex and I'm going to do this and it's going to get, you know what I mean? It's not like that, but it's a series of if then statements, right? And so you're still enjoying your time with the girl. And again, this is me coming to, you know, a lot of people and telling them the truth, which is I used to be a lot worse than I am now.
Oh, yeah. Tyler 1.0. I do not think we would be the friends that we are now. Oh, well, actually, you would have met Danielle 1.0. So actually,
we would have just solidified being toxic.
We would have solidified being terrible people. Oh my gosh, we actually would have, though, because I would have been the perfect introvert, introverted sociopath, just, like, watcher of everybody to your, like, extrovert, let me go around and actually execute Order 66.
That's
while
the timeline.
I'm the research.
That's the timeline where you and I start a church.
That's the darkest timeline.
That is a dark timeline.
That's the darkest timeline.
Us meeting at ThesCon was a really, really
dark,
bad.
World's worst timeline is if we met at ThesCon.
That would have been so bad. Yeah, we were in the same place at the same time.
I think for 2 years, actually.
For 2 years.
Junior and senior year.
And the odds are that we see each other.
That at the very least, we passed each other.
Exactly.
Like, or might have been in, like, a class together or something. Like, saw the same show.
Right.
You know, something like that.
But we never,
Thank God.
Fortune didn't have it that way. And it's a good thing that it didn't, because
things we were both
would not
bad
be...
people back then.
Yeah. Well, I will say, in high school, it wasn't that I was a bad person. I was just learning how to be confident. And so I wasn't a bad person. It was college where I became a fucking psychopath. And it was college into the early stages of my mom dealing with cancer where I was just a fucking loon, bro. Loon.
Well, I know with fucking junior year, you would have met, I just experienced the first validation ever, because with theater and stuff, and oh my God, this is the best. I'm going to do this for the rest of my life. Like, not a bad person, but just not the most, like, interesting or confident person. And then senior year was when I got adopted by that guy who became the extrovert that just linked arms with me and was like, you're coming with me. And I was like, all right. And that's when everything started plummeting downhill.
Yep.
And then it continued for the next, like, few years of college, really until I dropped out, until I dropped out of CSU. Because then I dropped out and was like, I'm not fucking good. Like, holy shit. Not even that I acknowledged that I was a bad person. I was just like, I'm in a fucking bad place.
Yeah.
I need to fix something. And that's when, like, Ron was just like, you should, like, go somewhere and go to a different school. Go somewhere. And yeah. I was like, you're fucking right. I don't need to be in this town anymore.
Yeah. Well, I know for me, mine developed because I was, I had squandered what could have been probably a really good opportunity at love with an ex of mine. And the one that starts with an H.
Gotcha.
And so I don't want to incriminate it. God knows I've done enough.
We've incriminated enough people accidentally on these episodes. No, I mean,
to this girl in particular, God knows I've done enough. But
I see.
Because she got it.
No, I mean, you've
she got you've it pretty me, yeah. pretty fucking bad, man. I was really, really terrible to her. Never crossing any lines. I want to make this very clear. There are certain things that I'm not capable of doing. Cheating, physical abuse, you know what I mean? Verbal abuse. None of that. None of that's a thing. That's not it at all.
Yeah. It's more just kind of like the topic of today's episode.
Yeah, I was real fucking manipulative, and I wasn't meaning to. That was the biggest thing, is most of the time I wasn't meaning to. It was towards the end that I became a genuine villain, and it was similar to fans of the show remember me telling the story about my boss, my big supervillain moment. It was similar to that, where
you did tell me about.
I was using sex as a huge coping mechanism, because I was drinking too, and so I was drinking a lot. I was sex was kind of the thing. And in moments of drought where I wasn't able to find somebody to keep me company in the evening, I would always go back to the same girl and try and be like, hey, like, you know, let's make this work. And then immediately be like, yeah, this isn't working. Hey, let's make this work. Yeah, it's not working. And it was terrible. It was absolutely terrible. And I get punished for it often. Karma's a bitch. And so, but I acknowledge I acknowledge every step of the way that of how bad it was, and you know, it was pretty rough. And so coming out of that, there became this kind of rhythm that I found myself in the dating scene. It was pretty primarily based off of the dating apps, and getting a girl interested just by talking with her and just being myself, right? And then once we get the first date going, the first date's always coffee, just because. And I don't think that's manipulative. I think making it pretty clear that my first date's always coffee, I think that's a safe bet, because it accomplishes a lot of things in a non. I don't think this is manipulative to have certain like standards that I need to meet, because I've been catfished before. So
it gives you an easy out, because you pay for it as soon as you get there, so you don't have to sit there waiting for a check.
Exactly. You're in a public place, so that you are confident that I'm not going to do anything, and I'm confident that you're not going to do anything. Mm-hmm.
You can, it's a relaxed environment where whenever someone wants or needs to leave, they can get up and get the fuck out.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't think that's wrong. It's kind of like, I never really went on a whole lot of first dates, but it's how, like, I always said, I mean, it's a similar thing to saying I would absolutely never go on a first date in like, a secluded or, like, closed-in kind of space alone with someone I'm meeting for the first time.
Mm.
Like, if it's, like, a friend or something that we're like, ooh, let's start a relationship, and I, like, trust them already, that's different.
Sure.
But if it's, like, a stranger or someone like, oh, I met them in class, and we're gonna go on a date.
Yeah.
Like, it's gonna be a public place, it's gonna be open with, like, lots of people there.
Well, that's just safety. That's just basic safety. Like, I would never take somebody to a fucking movie. So
I don't think that's manipulative. I think that's just comfort and safety.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, manipulation and all of that sociopathy aside, like I said, there are certain things I will and will not do. I am Mr. Enthusiastic Consent. Like, it you gotta be super fucking into it for me to be interested.
Yeah.
Period. So, you know, parking all of this stuff, you know, these are, you know, for me, I justified it by, it's just, I'm creating an environment that gives me the best opportunity to paint myself in the best light possible and to learn as much about you as possible to see if we would be compatible.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so, because me as the guy, I'm pretty much the one that has to make that call to see if how much I want to pursue you. Right. And, you know, whereas the girl, you're kind of spoiled for choice a little bit. You know what I mean? You don't need me. And we know that. And so, so it's, you know, how much energy do I want to put into this if you're not going to be the one or the one for right now or someone that I'm interested enough in to try and put all that energy into.
Mm-hmm.
You want to find that out sooner rather than later so you don't waste a bunch of your time. And so the Mac Daddy first date that I had come up with, this is after coffee and the vibe is there. We get along well. Everything's good.
Yeah.
Was a sequence, right?
No, and you have told me about this.
I have told you about this, and I'm not sure if I want to share this on the podcast.
You don't have to if you don't want to.
There is a step in the process where...
Because when you first told me about this, I was like, bro, that's like a little too... Let's crack open the instruction manual and...
It is. It is. I mean, when I had it down to the point where, you know, part of it included the question game where, you know, we're doing something outdoors... also, I could say this, we're playing, you know, mini golf is a part of it. And mm-hmm. instead of doing mini golf traditionally, we do our wacky version of mini golf, which is still very fun. Something I'd love to take you guys out for. But the whole thing is about creating non-standard ways of hitting the ball and getting points for it. So, you know, if there's like...
Here's the thing, I've gotten better at mini golf mm-hmm. in like the last couple times I've gone. I don't know when or how it happened because I didn't go for a long time. And then suddenly I beat Samuel twice. And I'm like, shit. I don't know how this happened. I've never been good. I've always been bad. Every single time.
I consider myself pretty fucking good. I'd love to go play mini golf with the squad. Yeah. Right? But anyway.
As a cover for your first date with Samuel.
He's so dreamy. Instead of doing it where we're playing for the full 18 holes, we're doing it to where each hole is a question. And it's a really good get-to-know-you game because, you know, obviously if you're not comfortable answering something, don't answer it. But,
yeah.
You know...
And you can change the question.
Exactly.
You know?
Like, yeah. But it's never... You know, I always say that just to make people feel like they don't have to, you know, go super crazy in. But by the time we're having that, the relationship is as such where you're comfortable with me at this point. If you're going out to play mini golf with me, there's a level of comfort that warrants stuff. But I still always double down and make sure that it's clear that, you know, consent is the most important thing, which nowadays is a likable trait. You know what I mean? To be talking to someone who's really, really cognizant and really puts a lot of importance on mm-hmm. the concept of you being comfortable.
Which, sidebar, I just want to briefly touch on how insane it was in like the 2000s and early 2010s that like the hottest thing possible was when a guy didn't ask for permission.
Yeah, and just
do you remember that being like the thing where it was just like if a guy just comes up and like grabs you and just like kisses you, that's the hottest thing. And I remember even then I was kind of like, but like, shouldn't there be some sort of cue that this is about to happen to me so that I can say no if I don't want it?
Yes.
And everyone was like, no, there should... No, because then the guy's a loser. And I was like, wait, hold on. I'm trying to understand this.
Yeah.
How is he a loser? And everyone was like, he just is, because that means he's not a man. And I was like, all right... Okay.
And look at the culture that bred.
Yes, a fucking terrible one.
Yeah, where we have fucking frat boys running around campus screaming, no means yes, yes means anal.
Yeah.
That's a real thing.
Oh my God.
That's a real fucking thing, like, where they're chanting that shit.
Date rape shit is like so common among that specific group that grew up with that being shoved down their throats, which is our fucking generation.
You want to talk about actual sociopathy, being, you know, single to the point where you have a lot of first dates, you get to know a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that's important to me is learning a lot about what the other people are doing. Like, what's the competition doing, right? Like, let's take a look at some best and worst practices, right? So questions that I'll ask are things like, what's the nicest first date you've ever been on, right? Or the nicest date you've ever been on. And just to kind of feel, you know, of all the people you've dated, who's shown the most effort, right? And what does that effort look like? And then you look at that and they're like, you took her to O'Charlie's. Shit, fuck. Dude. I'm like, and then I say things like, girl, you need to fucking have more standards for yourself. Like, whether we go the distance or not, you need to require more from these guys who, like, I don't know. Don't let me sit here and dictate what does and does not need to happen. But at the same time, I think that that's kind of mid. And so, if that's the best date you've ever been on, like, fuck me. So, and then I'll also ask, you know, come on, we met on one of the dating apps. What's one of your dating app horror stories?
Right. Well, that's just a fun one.
It is a fun
one. That's a very fun one.
And it gets real fucking sad really quickly because some people are horrible. But you know, there's that category of shit, and then there's the not that category of shit. One of my favorites was I was on this on a date with this really sweet girl, and I was asking about the, you know, Tinder horror stories, and she was just like, the first date, never met this guy, right, in person, never talked on the phone, nothing, we're texting. Takes me out to a movie, right? And she's just like, I was in the feels. I kind of wanted to just, like, you know, make out with someone. Nothing crazy, make out with them, right? So he leans in, you know, barely said two words to this guy. He leans over, grabs me, and starts kissing me. And she's like, and I'm in the place where it's like, yeah, you know, bad form, but we're already here, so why not, right?
Yeah.
He pulls her on top of him.
Oh my God.
In the movie theater. Reaches his hand down the back of her pants and sticks his entire finger up her ass.
Oh my God. What the fuck?
And she gets up. She goes, we're done. We're done. Oh, Jesus Christ. It's so bad. I'm having a voice crack. She's like, we're done. That's it. And then she gets up and she leaves. And I'm sitting here on the floor just like, oh my fucking God, dude.
Holy shit. What? I don't think there's a bolder move out there than going straight for a finger up the ass. It is a
strong opener.
That's
the King's Gambit right there. Holy
shit. That is insane.
Yep.
Something that you should watch. So this is just a little plug of one of my favorite series.
Speaking of finger in the ass, something you should watch.
No, not finger in the ass. Like Tinder horror stories, not finger in the ass.
Uh-huh.
This has nothing to do with that.
The website called Pornhub.
No. So there's a series. There's a YouTuber, pretty big YouTuber that I watch that does a Tinder Nightmares series. With his now wife. They started it when they were, like, dating and then engaged, and now they're married. Which
Tinder Nightmares.
Okay. Yes, which them together, their dynamic, I fucking live for it.
Oh, it's
so
yeah.
great.
Hell
they yeah. play off each other so well, and they're both just so, like, their humor is perfect. Like it bounces off so well when they do these, like combined videos.
Okay.
Yeah, so they have people submit, because like I say, he's a pretty big YouTuber, so they just have a ton of people submit their worst, like, screenshots or, like, you know, just, like, whether it's a profile that they saw that was just what the fuck, or whether it was actual, like, a conversation.
Sure.
And they send it over, and there have been some absolutely astounding things that have been sent in.
Oh, shit.
And honestly, I kind of want to watch one of those with you at some point, because yeah. it's so fucking funny. It's funny, but it's so cringe.
It is hilarious. Cringe, because one of the biggest, back when I was really, really, like around the college, post-college era, when I was really, really moving on the apps, one of the most common things that I would hear is the guys who go for the girls with no self-respect.
Oh, God.
So what they'll do, and this is the standard manipulation tactic, something I am exceedingly proud to say, even in my worst moments, I would never, ever, ever, ever do something like this. This is egregious.
Is this like one of those pickup artist things where it's like you have to compliment them but also put them down?
No, it's basically, so a way that people manipulate is kind of in that same vein, right? You build them up first, and then you wait for them to make one mistake and really harp on that mistake and then double back with, but don't worry, you know, I can help you move through this. And then you position yourself as this person of authority to where then you can give commands as to what does and does not happen. So that when then you demand
well,
sex.
Well, that's just a classic abusive relationship.
That's extremely abusive, and yeah. That's not something that I do.
Yeah.
However, what these people do is it's kind of that, but on an extreme degree, where they'll take somebody who, not to be rude, probably doesn't get a whole hell of a lot of compliments,
mm-hmm.
right? Somebody who is struggling a little bit to get matches on some of these apps. So you take it's a guy with a girl, just a Bob Standard relationship. It could be anybody, but they're talking, and you're building them up, saying things to them that they've probably never heard before. You know what I mean? Because they're maybe not non-conventionally beautiful.
Yeah.
And build them up, and then we need to have sex. Like, this super needs to happen. Oh my god, I'm so turned on. I'm so attracted to you. And then it's like, no, I'm a lady. I would never do something like that. You're a whore. You're a skank. You're disgusting. You fucking filth piece of shit.
Oh, that
fuck
shit.
You.
Yeah.
Where they just they're it's not even subtle about it. It's just yum, right, really mm-hmm. driving home. You disgusting piece of fucking filth. But you can be none of those things if you and I get together. And it fucking works because people do it. And it's just like,
I have seen that where, where like that's been on like some of the Tinder Nightmares videos, because they've done a bunch of them at this point, mm-hmm. where it's like guy is like sending like, hey, like, you're super beautiful. And she's just like, thanks. And mm-hmm. he's like, you want to like go out sometime? And she's like, I'm sorry. I'm just like, I'm not really interested, or like, or something like that.
Sure.
And then he just responds with like, wow, fuck you, bitch. Like, nice guys don't get anything these days, apparently.
Oh my
because
God.
The fucking nice guys,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, the fucking white knight complex yes. is fucking ridiculous. And so, it's just, that shit is so fucking beyond egregious. And then, of course, you have the guys who, I'm shocked don't get banned. Is the only thing they say is, just, hey, how about we fucking smoke a bowl and fuck? Or some kind of crass, direct to the point, mm-hmm. the first thing I'm saying is exactly what my intentions are.
Yeah.
Right? And most people on these apps are kind of off-put by that. Like, I'm good, man. I'm just trying to meet someone, not fucking do that. Right? That's not my thing. They don't even look at who they're matching. They're just click, 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 click. And then it's the same copy and paste, let's smoke a bowl and fuck, or like Netflix and chill, or that's where that whole thing came from. Right? And it's just like, nope, just let's be real fucking clear. We're hooking up. We're fucking, right?
Yeah.
And I'll send it to 50 people, and 49 people tell me to go fuck myself. But one person said yes, so it looks like I got laid. And it's like, that's not it. You know what I mean? Like, I will never do something like that.
Well, I also
that's
know.
That's not me.
Well, no, because, and tell me if I'm wrong, but I do feel like you appreciate having some kind of connection with the people that you sleep with.
Absolutely.
Even if, let's say, it happened on like a first date.
Yes.
At least then it's after the date where you've had all this time to talk and get to know the person
mm-hmm.
and all of that. So by the time it's happening, it's not just who the fuck is this stranger.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, I know some things about this
person.
I know
plenty about you.
Yes.
I have only had a planned hookup once. And you know what I'm talking about.
And I do know what you're talking about.
Because Danielle helped facilitate.
Let's not talk about it.
We're not going to
talk about it.
But boy, howdy. It was, dude, I'll tell you though, we won't talk about it, but we're going to talk about it.
Oh my God.
It was like Christmas morning for me, because I was, it just meant so much, because you know how much I love sex. And so... I waited. I drew that out.
I know you did. He waited until I was like fully. I had the mug tipped back, drinking coffee, like, and then he says that fucking shit. What the fuck is wrong with you?
We're on the way down for a wedding, and I get a text. I get a text from fucking Danielle going, hey, what did you fucking say to me? Because we're not going to say who, because that's
disrespectful. No, we're not saying who.
But the can we tell the story about the circumstance? Because the circumstance is pretty funny. We're not going to say who, and we're not going to incriminate. Well, is that something you're comfortable with, or no?
All I'm comfortable saying is it was someone who had come to, someone who had approached me and Samuel and said, hey, I'm looking to hook up. And do you have any, like, you know, recommendations of people?
Do you have any premium cuts that I can choose from? And well, you go, do I have the guy for you?
Well, because at the time you were single.
I was.
And I was like, I know for a fact that he's, you know, going to be respectful.
Mm-hmm.
And from what he has told me, it should be a good time.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not going to make it cringe.
Yeah.
So, like, 1, 2, and 3, those are the biggest things. Mm-hmm. And so I was just like, yeah, I mean, you know, this person, you know, like, my friend Tyler might be a good fit. And she's like, oh, okay. Yeah, okay. Ask him. So I text Tyler and I just go, hey, so this isn't a prank. This isn't a joke, because I know that's going to be your first thought, is that I'm messing with you.
I don't think you opened with that. I think you were just like, hey, I have something, but I don't know if I want to talk to you about it in person. And I'm like, you're stressing me the fuck out. What is it?
So then I said, I promise it's not bad, but... And then I don't know
And then you told me what it was.
Yes.
And my first response is, this is your one and only chance to tell me that this is a prank, because it's not funny.
Yeah, and I was like, no, it's not a prank. It's not a joke. This is, like, for real.
And I was like... Wait, really? I was like, my homegirl came in clutch? And I was like, it's an honor just to be nominated.
So then that happened.
And... It was fucking great, and it spawned, honestly, a relationship is not the best word, we'll say dynamic with somebody, like a relationship, because it spawned a friends with benefits thing that was honestly a really, really... tremendous experience for the both of us. So it ended up having phenomenal results.
Yeah.
But you know, it was between me and another guy, and the other guy was super, I'll freely admit, I'm not afraid to say this, he's a lot hotter than I am conventionally, right? I have that kind of, like, you know, he's easy to look at, but he's really funny. That's his whole shtick. Whereas this guy is just like, suck cock, and then they just go, and then they do, right? And he's not even Slavic, so I don't know why we gave him that
accent.
I don't know.
But don't say we.
you have just as much hand in this as I do. And so...
For the record, it wasn't that it was so much between you guys.
It was between the two of us.
It wasn't, though, because that person, I don't believe, was even in town that night. Came in the next day.
No, but it was the next day that was the conversation. Right?
What?
That's if they did get together, it would be the next day.
Yeah, and she shot her shot and he said no.
Hmm?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I guess she did.
Yeah.
Hmm. Don't remind me about that part. I feel less special.
I have to bring you down from your pedestal.
No,
at some
come on,
point,
I can't
Tyler.
Have nothing. Fuck. I was having
You've
fun.
You've got to have sex.
Multiple times.
So why are you pitching a fate?
Because it's not what I want.
Oh my God.
It needs to be very specific.
I hope she hears this.
I don't. I'm kidding. I'm not actually fucking spun by it, because it was so... The nature of everything was so... And I'll never forget, too, going into it. Why do all of our podcasts just turn into my sex life?
Because you always want to talk about it, Tyler.
Yeah.
You have to justify it to yourself somehow. It makes content. And that's how you justify it.
I do. Anyway, so it was so funny too, because I had never done a traditional hookup. Everything has been a date setting,
mm-hmm.
that passion sparked, and then if we do fuck on the first date, it's in, you know, in the way of this, like, wow, this is great and we want to do this,
yeah.
Right? Awesome, perfect, right? Whereas this was, it started off very transactional. And
I remember you, it was actually one of the funniest moments, because, you know, he's off doing his thing and I know that's what's happening. I go home and then I get a call from Tyler like an hour later.
It was more than an hour.
Well, okay, whatever. But I get a call from you like, you know, a little bit later. And he's just like, man, was that an experience? And just starts like to going in about like how it went.
The buildup. I didn't say the specifics as to what happened.
No.
Then.
Not the specifics during, but all the stuff
but
before.
But the buildup was so silly because it was, you know, we were all hanging out in a group setting and she was there and I know what's happening. So like, I'm trying to be a little flirtatious and it's just not like really, not really landing. And I'm like, towards the end of it, I was like, I don't think this is it. I don't think she's picking up what I'm putting down. Right? It's no worries. It's not a big deal. There was another agent in this as well.
There was another agent in this.
Who had a dog in this fight. And we won't go too far into that rabbit hole. But the other agent, the other person who wanted to be involved, and we'll say that, was...
To be fair, Tyler was not aware of that.
I had no idea that a friend of ours had... feelings for this person.
Yeah.
For the person that I was with or getting with. I had no idea. Had I have known, that would have probably changed some things. Cause that's not, I don't like that. So I just thought our friend was, you know, lingering to try and shoot his shot. And I'm like, no. this is a me thing. And so We do a little stutter step with the elevator, and then I'm like, oh, I forgot something, and she's like, I forgot something too, and then he goes up, so now we're alone, and me stepping out was like, are you gonna follow me or what? Like, what's gonna happen here? And then she followed me, and then I was like, oh, okay. I was like, I didn't forget anything, and we call the elevator, and we get in the elevator, and there's this quiet, and she's like, so you know what's gonna happen, right? And I was like, hey, it's nice to meet you.
nice to officially say a third word to you. Hello?
Yeah, I am down. She's like, are you down? And I was like, yeah, I'm down. She's like, okay, this is what's up. This is how it's gonna be, and this is what I want. Cool, great. All of those are doable things, and so. There's the moment where it's two people staring at each other with a bed right there. And I'm like, you can't see it, but I'm doing this like awkward B-boy dance where I'm just like,
like, how do we, cause there hasn't exactly been a whole lot of romance.
Not a whole lot of build up here. So very <it's... laughs> surgical in nature. And so it was, you know, put some fucking Animal Planet on.
Animal Planet.
Yeah, so like it was like Discovery Channel. Like, put some Discovery Channel on, and we'll sit in the bed, we'll watch it until the mood takes us. And I was like, what the fuck? So we're sitting in the bed watching it, sitting next to each other. The mood did not take us, but I'm like waiting, what I think is an appropriate amount of time. I kind of look over, and she kind of looks at me, and there's a moment where there's like a tiny little, like a little,
the tiniest little,
tiny
thing.
Little spark. I'm like, yeah, let's go into it. And as it continued, things got really good, right? Where we were, mm-hmm. you know, we were enjoying each other's company, right? Mm-hmm. And really, you know, into what was happening. So it wasn't like it was this big, like, oh, Tyler doesn't like this. We were both into it. It was just getting there was the weird part. But then we got there, right? And that was it, right?
Because it was just, like you said, very transactional.
Very transactional. Because like... once everything was done, she was like, this was great. I'm glad we did this. Goodbye. And then she leaves. And I'm like, what the fuck?
And that's when I get the call.
I was like, I'm gonna call Danielle. Hey, Danielle.
And
what
I
the
remember,
fuck?
I remember exactly what you said, which was, that was one of the most, that was a very unique experience.
And it was so crazy. And so,
oh my God.
You know,
That was one of the funniest things, me walking around my parents' kitchen as you're just, like, telling me this, and I'm just, like, trying to be quiet because the whole house is asleep.
So funny.
Oh, my
and
God.
So the story ends with, you know, the rest of the wedding comes and goes,
mm-hmm.
and it was kind of, like, we didn't really interact a whole lot.
No.
When we did, it was just like a, ma'am, sir, all right, you have a safe trip home, darling. This cowboy's...
Now you sound more like the other guy.
This tumbleweed's gonna tumble on home. I'm out of here. And so I was just like, that was an experience. I'm glad that I had it, and now it's done. And then, plot twist, she's in town, actually. And I was like, oh, shit, okay, cool. So she comes over to a get-together that we have, right? Yes. And it's like, oh, we're cool, right? It's not like that.
Yeah.
And so, what the fuck did she say? I'm paraphrasing. It wasn't a verbatim like this, but it was the energy of, I would like to reopen our business arrangement.
Oh my God.
Would you be amenable to going another round? And I'm like, yeah. I mean, yes. I am. That sounds like something.
And y'all did try like going on like a date. That concert that you went to?
That's true. Well, that's because I'm like, now, okay, we did it your way. Now we're doing it my way.
You were like, let's go on a date. I don't have anyone else to go with me to this kind of romantic music thing. Come with me.
And it set the stage perfectly because the I am a naturally romantic guy. But I'm also a very sexual guy. So I'm more than happy just with the sex part. But, like, it would mean a lot if we could, you know, enjoy each other's company to a degree. And so, and, like, actually get to know each other a little bit. Fuck, I don't know anything about you. And so I'm like, you have me at a disadvantage here. So she's just like, yeah, you know, we could go to the concert. That sounds like fun. And we go to the concert. Yeah. And it was, oh my God, it was the greatest concert I've ever been to. I wasn't expecting it to be the greatest concert ever. Yeah. I thought it was going to be good. I didn't know it was going to be like that. And it was one of those things where it was very romantic.
Yeah.
And it was, and that kind of set the pace for everything where we're mm-hmm. like, this is going to be a thing until I leave. And it's like, yeah, this is great.
Yeah.
And it was an eye-opening experience that I wouldn't trade for anything. I'm really grateful, and she's grateful, and then we left. She's got a boyfriend now who
apparently is awesome.
Word on the street is he's fantastic, and yeah. I don't have a jealous bone in my body. I'm happy for the both of them. Hand to yeah. God, right? And so it was like stranger than fiction for me because it was like, I'm so used to dynamics that could be that simple and good and positive. Be a fucking quagmire, a nightmare of epic proportions where it's just like, can we just keep this simple? We know where we're at. We know that there is no end goal outside of just have some fun and then leave it alone.
Yeah.
Right? That sounds nice. Does that sound nice? That sounds nice. And then we do it and it's great, right?
Yeah.
But then I go in, I'm single, right? And I'm being very clear up front. Don't expect nothing because it ain't gonna happen. I'm here for a good time, not a long one. I'm just trying to have fun. And that doesn't mean sex. But if it does mean sex, then it means sex, right? It just means if I go on a date, I've gone on dates before where nothing happened.
Yeah.
And we went our separate ways and it was a great time and I don't regret anything.
Yeah.
Right? It was nice to just spend my evening with in the company of someone pretty cool.
Yeah.
Right? That's all it has to be. It can live there forever. But if we're both on the same page and we both want the same thing, we're going to go for it. And if it does, then great. If it doesn't, then that's okay too.
And that's why sociopathy is okay.
But then but then they fucking lose their fucking minds. Where it's just like, you know, I understand the nature of this relationship. Why aren't you calling me? Why aren't you, you know what I mean? Like, holy, you, what do you mean you're talking to other people? And it's just like, dude, I told you that. It'd be one thing if I lied. It'd be one thing if I lied.
Yeah.
It'd be one thing if I came to you and I said, I'm all yours. I'm not seeing anybody else. But it's like, no, I am single right now. And if somebody comes up, I'm gonna talk to them, right? Because we're not official right now and we're not exclusive.
Well, and
I don't do that ever. Like, well,
and here's the thing. I don't like to refer to women as crazy if I can help it. Because I feel like that's been something that has been done so often to where it's just like, yeah, bitches be crazy. And mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't really like that. But I do think that people go through phases in their life where, one, either certain types of people bring out that side of them,
mm-hmm.
where if you just, like, you find that person, like, I had that person, mm-hmm. Napoleon Complex
oh,
guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I had that person that brought out full psycho from me.
Yeah.
Full on, I was that person.
Sure.
Like, I was the person who could not leave him alone.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't good. Mm-hmm. It was not good. And so I do think there are those people that come up in your life at different points, different types of people at different points in your life that will bring that shit out of you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, Like, even you, I'm sure there's someone out there that could bring that out of you at this phase in your life if you ran into them. And suddenly, oh God, I'm a psycho. And yeah. Like, because it happened to me, I feel like it can happen to literally anybody.
Yeah.
And so.
And you want to know what the trick is?
What?
This is how we close up the sociopathy episode.
Oh God, okay.
Because there is, a lot of people don't know this, and then some people exploit this. I don't. Ever intentionally, but in my growth, I have been made aware that this is something that kind of stirs the pot, right?
Okay.
If you can take control of the power dynamic and make it unequal, that's the fastest way to get somebody's attention. So I'm pointing at the wall now. Me and girl.
Okay.
We both like each other. No, there is no power dynamic. There is no manipulate. There is none of that. We're just talking.
Okay.
And we decide we're going on a date.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the date, we're like, wow, this is pretty great. I like you. You like me. We like each other. Even keel. We're in the same boat, right? As the relationship develops, if you can then take that power of you like me more than I like you and position yourself there, they're going to do everything in their power to try, subconsciously, to try and get you to like them to an equal degree. And as long as you can keep that power dynamic up where you're almost unattainable, where your heart is not fully captured by them, but you have theirs, that's where crazy comes from.
Yeah.
And my biggest problem is unintentionally, I'm not doing this on purpose. Hand to God, I'm not doing this on purpose. But I love pretty fucking passionately. I get pretty in to a thing if there's a girl that I'm really attracted to that likes me and I like her. I go a little overboard sometimes on the flowery language and on the romance.
Flowery language, like, you know, gifts, things like that.
Gifts, physical touch, and I position myself where on jump because I had been in a long-term relationship where we had a very good balance of everything. And so it's like, well, I've learned a lot of things from that long-term relationship on how to, you know, please my partner, not necessarily in the bedroom, but how to please my partner just in a relationship context. And so I'm like, look at all the things that I've learned. So I'm immediately diving in, showcasing really, really complex equations that I have solved about how to keep a good relationship going. And it's overwhelming because it's so much. Like, wow, this guy's got his shit together. Yeah, that works with somebody else,
mm-hmm.
but not with you. Not with you specifically. But and so it
you haven't like actually figured out the circuit board for this new person.
And so I
you're
reach out.
Trying to plug in like right. a flash drive, essentially.
And so I reach out and grab them and go, don't you worry, I already have the framework for what a good relationship looks like. And they get swept off their feet and they're like, wow, this is great. And I'm doing all the work putting the framework together. You're just along for the ride. Mm-hmm. You're not putting that in. And now I start going, well, Jesus Christ, I'm starting to lose my interest, but you're already captivated.
Yep.
Right? You're already like, wow, this is so great. I'm being given all this attention and spoiled and all these things. But then you're still in shock from receiving all this energy. And the shock is keeping you from doing a whole lot. And then I cross my arms and I'm like, what the fuck? It's your turn. But that was never discussed, and
no.
I don't realize that.
Yeah, it needs to be like, you know, and we were kind of talking about this.
Building the framework together.
Yeah. Yes, actually, from the beginning, both of you guys doing, like coming up with everything y'all are going to do together.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, figuring out, okay, where are we going to stay? What are we going to eat? Like,
right.
Let's talk together about mm-hmm. how things are going to work.
Or
like,
how the fuck do we communicate?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so I'm coming in here doing all of that. As soon as I start to think that I'm not getting that same energy back, bro, the second my brain goes, shit, this might not work, it is so hard to get the milk back in the container. It is.
The second, you specifically, the second that you start to doubt something, it doesn't go away. Whether it's your job, whether it's like, you know, a relationship, friend or otherwise,
mm-hmm.
like the doubt specifically for you stays there forever.
Yeah.
It's so hard just from what I've seen for you to actually shake it off
mm-hmm.
and just be like, oh, I'm just making that up. Like, you know, that's just, you're good at telling everybody else that they're making it up. But as soon as you start feeling it, you're like, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's it.
And that's the thing, is because what I desperately want is for somebody to give me that same energy that I give, which is take a break. You've mm-hmm. done a lot. It's my turn to take control of some things and start letting you know how things are going to go. You're not the only one that has to build the foundation of this relationship. We're going to do it together.
Well, yeah, but you starting off everything with I'm in control, here's this super awesome crazy
sets
thing.
Sets the worst precedent.
It sets a precedent.
It conditions, not intentionally.
No, not on purpose.
It conditions them to think this is the nature of the beast.
Well, because your love language is very much so, like, you have obviously all of them apply to you, but, like, I feel like your number ones for, like, giving are, like, a mixture of, like, words of affirmation, gifts, and acts of service. Like, being there for your partner and giving them things, whether it's experiences, whether it's, like, you know, whether it's a nice dinner, whether it's, you know, oh, I got you this, like, surprise thing, or, oh, I did this thing for you because I know you'll appreciate it. And, like, and the words of affirmation as well, like, you know, telling them how amazing they are. And then they're just like, oh my gosh, this is so great. Like, I'm just being showered with stuff and I don't have to, like, do all the work that I've always had to do before. And then
they get
used to that.
And because you don't require that and upfront that this is a partnership thing, they get used to it, I get disinterested, and the relationship lasts a month and a half.
Yes. Yeah.
Yep.
But it doesn't have to be that way. Because you're aware of it, you can change it. Just like we've been talking about how we're going to change all of our sociopathy shit.
You're right.
This is one of those things.
And I make a lot of jokes, but, the premise that I, you know, the biggest thing that I want our listeners to take away from this is that you can be bad, but you're not solidified as bad if you can acknowledge that you can do better. And you work to do better.
And you try to do better.
And,
yes.
And one of the things that I'm proudest of, at least over the last probably 6 months or so, I have just been working my motherfucking ass off trying to be better and to shed the skin that I was wearing for a long time.
Yeah.
And I see the results, right?
Yeah.
We're not done. There's obviously more work to do. But the results are starting to come in and I'm starting to become a really pretty decent person, which is cool. And so to the point where some of the sociopathy stuff that normally I'd be proud of, right? I told my friends who, you know, a few friend groups ago, a lot of the guys struggled with getting women. And I'm like, if you just literally do everything that I tell you, I promise you, you will do well. The problem is you won't because you're too afraid and you stand in your own way. And I'm literally giving you the keys to the castle here. You just won't. And that is where you have to acknowledge that that's on you. And it's like, sounds really fucking inspiring in that moment, but you don't realize
how toxic
that is to then blame them. You know what I mean?
Now, well, blaming them for just, oh, you're just being yourself.
Mm.
Well, that's a problem.
Well, I mean, the process is about what's the word? Showcasing the best aspects of yourself, right? It's not about lying and being somebody else, but it is also about showing confidence because I don't care who you are. You're never going to get anybody if you're not confident. If you don't believe in yourself.
Well, and confidence takes many shapes. You don't have to walk in and just be bombastic and huge and, like, all that stuff.
Yeah.
You can just walk in. You can be quiet and confident.
Oh, absolutely.
You can sit and just, like, you know, wait for other people to ask questions and just have confidence in your answers.
Samuel's phenomenal at that.
Yeah, Samuel.
And not that he's a naturally quiet person, but he's weaponized quiet confidence in the sense that you never think for a second that man doubts himself.
Because he doesn't. But
right.
Whereas me,
I'm on the other side of the spectrum where I'm just like, I love myself and you need to know it. I'm definitely not compensating for anything.
No, Samuel, he speaks when he has something to say.
Right.
And when he has something to say is when he's confident in what he's saying.
I speak when there's silence.
You speak when there's a lull in the room and you say, hey, so, like, what's the plan? What are we doing next?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
We're standing around. I'm getting antsy.
I'm dying and we need to fix that. Can we please play a board game or something? Fuck me.
And I'm always just like, Tyler, can't we just chill and just, like, talk as a group? And you're like, no. We have to watch a movie or play a game or go to a restaurant or do some kind of activity. If we're just standing around talking, we're gonna slowly die.
Not you. Me. I will slowly die. Oh, anyway, thanks for tuning in, guys.
Oh, my God.
Thanks for tuning in, guys. We really appreciate it.
What a disjointed episode.
This is like OG, let me tell you why.
This is very OG. Let me tell you why. No, we just got so off the rails.
Yeah, and we just kept going. Like... We just said, stay with it. So, yeah, guys, tune in next week. We're going to hit you with Dreams.
Yes.
That was what got picked out of the spinner. So,
dream.
I had you'll never believe me, but I had a private bet on whether or not you were going to hit that.
I'll never believe you.
I swear to God, as soon as I picked Dream, I was like, is she going to do that fucking Shark Boy and Lava Girl shit?
Why wouldn't I?
I don't know.
It's the best movie ever.
So we'll be talking about that next week, so definitely tune in, because that one's going to be a doozy. In the meantime, thank you guys very much. We love you very much. Be sure to show this to all your friends and let everybody know how awesome we are, because, you know, we crave your validation. In the meantime, I've been Tyler.
I've been Danielle.
And this has been an instant class. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you.